Stewardship, a Mission of Faith presents Gospel Reflection. Gospel Reflection is a one-hour weekly gathering with prayer and the breaking open of the bread of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of those participating, lives are changed, renewed, and transformed. Please join with us now for this week's Gospel Reflection.
And with that, we're going to begin. Do you mind opening up with a prayer? I always enjoy it so much when you ask the Father to anoint and bless this time together, this gathering of men.
Thank you for the opportunity. Father God, we do praise you and thank you, Lord. And we do raise up our voices to you saying, come and dwell with us in this place, Lord God, this day. We praise you, Lord, that you promised the power of your Spirit to be dwelling in us and among us, Father God. Praise you for that. And praise you for the many ministries that are represented here, many churches, many active ministries, many that are reaching out to the local and to the world, Lord God. We praise you for that. And Lord, we ask that you make each one of us the men you want us to be in our families, in our businesses, in our neighborhoods, Lord God. Because, Lord, when you did the creation, Lord, and shaped and formed this universe, Lord God, you put man in the unique position of opportunity and responsibility, that we have the opportunity to care for this creation, care for our families, shepherd and guide them, Lord God, and be bold enough to say, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, Lord God, strengthen us this day. Be with us here, Lord God. And also, Lord, be with us as we consider the losses and the hurts and the pains that many are suffering, Lord God, whether it be from loss of family, loss of loved ones, career struggles, Lord God, business struggles, all these, Lord, you know them, and Lord, you are the power that can heal them. So, Father, be with us this day, and we praise you for this time together, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And with that, we're going to begin with our petition. And do you mind doing our petition? And sure. Do you mind doing Jesus' prayer for unity? I think that is so beautiful. Every time we pray it, it just brings joy to my heart.
Please, Lord, allow each of us gathered here in this room to be an instrument in the answer to your prayer of unity, so that each of us, united as one, may be a light that leads to you.
I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you are sent me. And I have given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought in perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me and that you love them even as you loved me.
Excellent. Now, the beauty of these groups are it's a free sharing of the Holy Spirit-inspired thoughts in our hearts. And so we invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts at this time. And do you mind leading us in a hopeful prayer?
Sir. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful.
And kindle in them the fire of your love.
Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created.
And you shall renew the face of the earth.
Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of thy faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. And the Litany of Humility, who's feeling humble today? Would you like to lead us in the Litany of Humility today?
Okay.
We'll all respond on the right-hand side.
Jesus, meek and humble of heart.
Hear me.
From the desire of being esteemed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being loved,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being acclaimed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being honored,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being praised,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being preferred,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being consulted,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being approved,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being valued.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being pitied.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being humbled.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being despised.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being dismissed.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being rejected.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being defamed.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being forgotten.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being ridiculed.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being wrong.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being suspected.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From resenting that my opinion is not followed.
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the feeling of entitlement.
Lord Jesus, free me.
That others will be loved more than I.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be esteemed more than I.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will increase in the opinion of the world while I diminish.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be chosen while I'm set aside.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be praised while I'm overlooked.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be preferred to me in everything.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, though you were God, you humbled yourself to the extreme of dying on a cross to set an enduring example to the shame of my arrogance and vanity. Help me today to learn your example and put into practice so that humbling myself in accordance with my lowliness here on earth, you can lift me up to rejoice forever in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And now the universal prayer. And let each of these lines sink into our hearts because these are so powerful. And it's a great way to start each day.
Lord, I believe in you. Help me to believe more firmly. I trust in you. Help me to trust more surely. I love you. Help me to love you more ardently. I am sorry for my sins. Help me to deepen my sorrow.
I worship you because I came from you. I long for you because you made me for yourself. I praise you as my ever-present helper. I call on you as my powerful protector.
Guide me by your wisdom. Correct me with your justice. Comfort me with your mercy. Defend me with your power.
Lord, I offer you my thoughts to be centered on you, my words to speak of you, my actions to do your will, my sufferings for your sake.
I want whatever you want, because you want it, the way you want it, as long as you want it.
Lord, enlighten my mind, strengthen my will, purify my heart, and sanctify my spirit.
Enable me to regret past offenses, resist future temptations, overcome wayward tendencies, and cultivate needed virtues.
Lord, in your goodness, grant me the grace to love you, forget myself, seek my neighbor's good, and despise the seduction of the world.
Teach me, Lord, to obey those in authority, serve those in my care, look after my friends, and forgive my enemies.
Lord, help me to overcome pleasure by simplicity, greed by generosity, anger by self-control, complacency by fervor.
Make me prudent in planning, unwavering in danger, patient in diversity, unassuming in success.
Amen. Keep me, Lord, attentive at prayer, moderate in food and drink, energetic in my work, and firm in my resolutions.
Enable me to keep my conscience clear, my bearing modest, my dealings exemplary, my life well ordered.
Lord, let me be alert to tame my natural instincts, foster the life of grace, keep your law, and receive salvation in Christ.
Teach me how trivial world interests are, how momentous the kingdom, how brief temporal concerns are, how lasting life eternal.
Lord, by your grace, enable to me to prepare for death, fear judgment, escape hell, and obtain heaven.
Grant this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And now the gospel reading this morning. Anybody would like to read it out this morning? You mind? We'll take a minute or two to reflect on the gospel this morning after it's read, and then just feel free to share it.
From the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 13 through 35. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he is alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described them. But him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that, while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It strikes me that this is a very, very rich passage, and I think so much of who we are in this life. And we've heard where two or three are gathered, there am I also. And here are two gathered walking along the road. It's so much path of our own lives, and do not our hearts burn within us as we encounter the scripture, as we encounter Christ in one another. We long for him to stay with us. We long to have scripture open in his spirit, and he is so much with us that sometimes and then he just seems to vanish, and we're back in perhaps a world that seems bereft. But I just see so much of our daily walk in this scripture passage and our the longing of our hearts for him with us.
Amen.
You know, when you were just sharing that, I reflected on Monday. Where two or more gathered, he is there. And Monday evening, I just got, it felt like everything just came attacked against me. My children were beat. I was beat. Business this. It was like five attacks, and it, you know, after my 3 weeks of travel, it had me down. So I called a friend, because I had a choice, either live in the misery and dwell on all the negativity, or call a friend and reach out. I called a friend, and the friend said to me, worship God. I went, what? I want you to worship God, I want you to rebuke Satan, and I want you to ask for God's intervention. And that person did that on the phone with me at that time. And it's like the next day, every one of those instances got reversed. That was an absolute miracle.
Amen.
Because had I stayed in my flesh and my tired, beat, attacked, I'd had a miserable night, the next day would have been miserable. But when that person said, worship God, in your attack, in your pain, rebuke Satan and ask for his interventions, I'm telling you, and then miracle of miracles was the next day, yesterday, and it's like every one of those, the situation righted itself. Mm-hmm. And that's faith, and that's trust, and that's just crying out to the Father. So that's what where two or more are gathered. It's so critical for us as men to not think we're islands to stand alone, but to cry out to our brothers, say, help me. Never be too spiritually proud. Help me.
And that's almost a direct reference. What you just shared is almost a direct reference to 28. For some reason, this is the verse that always grips me about this whole account. As they approached the village which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, stay with us. And then this is the best part of it. So he went in to stay with them. So he went in to stay with them. And I know Jesus is always with us. But even in your situation, you had to strongly urge the interaction of a living God with a perceived absence of him, even though he's not absent. And then he stays with us. He does meet with us. I think one of the hardest things about our generation is developing the expectation that God can meet with you even though he's always with you. And that's not just seeking an experience. It's a birthright of being a child of God. And these guys already had a birthright. They didn't know they had. He had already risen from the dead and they were oblivious to that. And yet there was something burning in there. There's something going on here. We can't identify it. But we want to meet with this guy more. He's about ready to go, but we want more of him. And I think that's our generation, and that's the thing we have. I know you can't take that into a striving mode where you just come up with, you know, that's the thing we always talk about in this circle, is there's not a formula to this, but there is a divine interaction of a child of God feeling like God's moving on and I'm going to be left behind here, and I need him to stay with me. So anyhow, that's this thing I can never get away with. And I feel like every other day, or even for some of us, every other second, we feel that battle. So I'm blessed by what you just experienced in the last 48 hours. It's where we're all at.
I think something can help us here is we should start taking care of tomorrow. Today, you think about tomorrow. Today, devil is going to attack tomorrow. Now we know about now. We may not know about the next minute. So if we can develop the insight of praying for tomorrow today, like you rise in the morning or whenever you want to pray, take care of tomorrow. I do it a lot. Some of the time I imagine what the devil could do to me. My family is not here. My family is in Africa. And they call me all the time. I do call them. But I could see that if something happens that needs my presence, it'd be difficult to get me. So I have sort of a lot of imagination in my brain. Every day, I pray for God to secure them. First of all, I'm very worried about security. you know, being in good health, being secure first. So when I rise up to pray, I pray about that and take care of my tomorrow. And I've been here for 8 years. I've not been home. And there have never been evil reports, because I get in contact with them all the time. And I pray against anything the devil would do to my mother, because I'm her only son, to my wife and children. You know, I pray always for them. I get contact with them so that you take care of the next step. The devil, you see, don't be defensive. Defensive is not the right thing to do. You'll be offensive. All the time you're attacking the enemy. So you get the enemy out of your perimeter. Let him get out of your family, of whatever is your concern. You see, but if you let him come in, you'll be grappling with a lot of trouble. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Wow. And when you were just sharing, it opened up to me with the most powerful thing that upset my whole understanding Monday night. Normally I would have been crying out, Father, help me here. Father, fix this. Father, solve that. Father, do this. And when that person told me to worship God, that changed my whole dichotomy. I'm like, wait a minute. But the power in worshiping God brings you, praising God brings you joy.
It's true.
It fills you with love. Amen. It defeats the enemy.
That's right.
Praise God.
When you are joyful, Satan flees. Mm-hmm. When you praise God, that is like screeching records in his ears. So, and I've never done that. I've always cried out in prayer, help me, help me, help me. But to stop and to worship God and praise Him and thank Him for everything. And say, Father, what do you want me to learn through all this?
Amen.
I'll tell you one thing He taught me, just how weak I am.
Amen.
And the fact that I need Him, I can't do this walk without Him.
Amen.
I can't do this walk without Him, and that's what I cried out. I don't have the strength. And that's what He can work the most in and for me.
That's true. That's true. In your weakness, you become strong.
What else do we see?
I was focusing on, let's look at the last few words. How He was made known to them in the breaking of bread. And then it occurred to me here that this is kind of a picture of how we really tend to be like these two travelers. We converse and debate. We ponder the amazing events of our time and our life. And we ask, what does all this mean? And unfortunately, we are, as Jesus said here, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken or what the scriptures say. I'm slow of heart. I don't press into the promises and rest in that. And then, despite all that dysfunctional foolishness, Jesus comes. He goes out of His way and comes to me and us and comforts us. And then it's very powerful. He feeds us. And when He does, our eyes open. Because it was when He broke the bread and gave it to them, which is like communion, then their eyes opened. And He took the initiative to do that, you know. But then I thought it was very cool how that, the last sentence here, then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how He was made known to them through Him. The breaking of bread. And I think that goes back to what you said, and it really ministers to me right now, that what brings healing and wholeness and joy is when we worship God. And that can be through the sacraments, if we're cognizant of what that really means, you know. And then recounting, like we are here, this is a form of worship and encouragement. So thank you for encouraging me along those lines about worshiping God. That's what I need right now, and it will probably take care of some crap I'm dealing with.
What else can we say?
Thank you for that comment about worshiping God. On Sunday morning, we got a pleading call from our daughter, who has been nursing this son-in-law for the last 4 months back from a battle with leukemia, and she's homeschooling three kids, she's giving piano lessons, she's being a mother and father, and she's caregiver to this stubborn, bull-headed son-in-law who is showing his worst now in this time of recovery. So she called at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, and she said, "He's driving me crazy." She said, "I'm pleading with the Lord to give me strength, and he's not here." And I encouraged her. I encouraged her to don't give Satan a victory with comments of this type.
Yes.
You've got to avoid that kind of proclamation or frustration. But I didn't tell her worship God. I told her you've got to continue pleading with the Lord. Keep your faith strong in Him. And I said, and by the way, I'll bring Mother down. So Bonnie's down in Virginia again, helping in the process. But that's a great cut. That's a great worship God. I mean, don't make a list and say, "Lord, I need these 10 things." Worship God. Thank you for that.
Powerful. I got goosebumps and bind Satan.
Yeah,
through the power of God. And I'm telling you, I got goosebumps. When you were recounting on the last sentence, you know, what we're doing here in these groups is we're inviting the Lord to table with us.
Amen.
We are asking the Holy Spirit
right.
into our
That's
hearts right. to break open the bread of life. We are being fed the bread of life so that we can then learn about Him and then take those stories out into the world and share them. Recount them
Amen.
So that others can come and taste and see the goodness of the Lord. This is it. This is what we're doing here each week, and we're inviting Him in, and we're gathered at table, and we're breaking open the bread of life through the Holy Spirit. Yes.
That's so significant when you break bread together. And most of the time when Christ wanted to teach His disciples, it was at the table. And I believe the Jewish tradition is to teach their children when they're at the table.
Amen.
I believe this table here, this setting here, like you were saying, is very significant when we break bread together. And I have a grandson who's living with me. And I'm teaching him how to be a man at the table. I'm asking him, and when he's in school, did you do a good deed today? Did you help someone today? These are the things that we teach our children at the table. We as men, sometimes we don't do that. We sort of leave it up to our wives to do that sometimes, or the females to do that. But we as men. And what you said about worship. How many men really worship God? How many men really, you know, when you arrest someone, they throw your arms up and surrender and worship God. That's a form of surrender. You're surrendering your whole being. And they that worship Him must worship Him how? Spirit and in truth. Can you can't handle the truth. Some of us can't handle the truth. When we really want to worship God and get into His face and just surrender all to Him. And I believe as we come around this table, we're starting to break down those walls, and we're really, as men, starting to really worship God here. Since I've been here, I mean, I feel a freedom here to share with you guys my heart. And that's I believe that's worship.
Yes.
The enemy can't worship God. He's upset. He was the chief worshiper, so now he lost that right.
That's right.
So now we can do that.
Amen.
We can enter in the presence of God and worship Him. So that was powerful.
And you know, I didn't have the strength to worship. So I cried out to a friend to help me.
Yeah.
And this friend helped me to worship, helped me to bind Satan, prayed that prayer, and then said, "You'll do it for me someday."
Yeah.
That's the body of
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
And when we allow our self-pride, spiritual pride, to say, I can't call and let someone know I'm weak. Stop. Stop. If you think you're that strong, you don't have a good connection. Because I'm telling you. So what else do we see? Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing this morning?
Good.
Good.
I see. I have two heartbreaks in this account. One is, I think, God's broken heart that we as a nation have gone from the family table to the TV tray. And because of that, we have lost the generational passing of the baton.
Wow.
We have failed to pass the baton to the next generation as a nation. I'm not talking about us here at this meeting place, but we are in the minority who have the vision of God to pass the baton to the next generation. And that primarily takes place at the family table, which is almost evaporated from the American scene. My second observation here, which is a controversial one, so I'm just going to lay it out there. You're going to know where I stand. The scripture says that there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor male nor female, nor slave nor free. And it's very interesting to me that there's one little line in this scripture. It says, some women in our group, however, amazed us. And I think the church in America has a very slanted view of the proper place of women in the church. And I think the church has held women back to a great extent to the detriment of the church, because we are a body, all who need one another. And there are things that God put in women that he didn't put in men. And there's anointing on women to do much of what men do, not in the same way that men do it, but to bring a whole other perspective of God's heart to the table. And I'm ashamed that the American church in particular has held women down from their rightful place in the kingdom.
And you know, when you just shared that, are not women members of that same one body of Christ?
Obviously.
And they have their role and their function. I think it's real close to the heart, and I think it's right along the veins to pump that heart pulse into the brain, the men, to keep us in balance and check. We absolutely 100%, I would agree 100%, we must have both in the church. Must. If not, we're top heavy. You ever see a person that's got a big head?
Yep.
They topple over.
Yep.
They topple over.
But on the other side of the coin, I think we men have surrendered that in many ways. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when Moses has got them, the whole gang in front of them, and he's going to re-proclaim to them again. In their tradition, the men would have been in front, the women would have been in the back, and the children would have been with them. And he was saying, write the words of God upon your doorposts of your home. And so he was confirming again the fact that the man is in a leadership position. But so many of us today who are in the church, in the corporate church, are saying, hey, mama will take care of that, or let's have more women involved in ministry positions because they're more unwilling. So I think a lot of us have surrendered that.
Said that, you, I agree. We are the leaders in our homes, but we are to lay down our life.
That's right.
For our bride.
And if you look at that leadership term in the scripture, it means headwaters. It literally means the headwaters. It doesn't mean a domination.
No.
At all. It means to flow into. So we are the headwaters that are supposed to flow into our wives and our children and the church. So where leadership is Christ said the greatest among you, what? Lays down your life. So we are in that sense, the headwaters, but not a domination over women.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking in Genesis, and I agree with this direction, because we take it as it says he created man, but it really means mankind, which is not a gender. It's male and female, but we have somehow taken things out of context. Maybe our insecurities, maybe we're not secure with our own self and spiritual direction, and we think God is male. And I don't know any male that could have created a female. So I don't understand women. So because I don't understand them, I can keep them back here. And so at that point, we're our insecurities. But if we can find out that how it's not just with women, but even with other men, there's a place here that God is allowing security and worship. I don't know why we've done that through the years. We've made God American. He's not American. So I think we put in our stereotypes into what God is and how he, because we think he's male, because it's father and son in the translation, that we have lost some of the real meaning of what God wants to do in our lives. And that's why you said, lay down our lives. What woman one wants somebody to lead if we were willing to do that, like Jesus did to the church?
And isn't it interesting?
We're coming into Mother's Day is what I'm thinking, some of this stuff.
And isn't it interesting that God of the universe chose to unite himself with all of humanity through a woman?
Yep.
Not through a man, through a woman.
Yep.
Is how he united himself with all humanity. That's
yeah.
how Christ came in.
I'm working on that for Mother's Day because
it's powerful. We cannot forget that. Male and female, he created them in his image and his likeness. Them.
Interesting. Yeah, I know. So I have an opinion. This is strictly opinion now. I've studied the Genesis account at great length, the creation of man and Adam and Eve. And this is opinion again. I want to make that clear. I have the opinion that when God created Adam, Adam was both male and female. And when God took the rib out of Adam, he was taking the feminine side of God out of man, creating Eve as a helpmate, and then said, let these two be one. Because without the two being one, we're missing part of God's very nature, the female side of God's very nature. So I believe that Adam, mankind, had initially both the male and female attributes of God in one. And when God made the helpmate, he took the feminine side out, which is his likeness. You know, so God has both male and female attributes. And he took it out for the purpose of one helping the other, but he then proclaimed that they needed to come back together as one, so that all of God's attributes would be back together. Opinion.
That's right.
I'm going to get back to worship now. I talk. I wrote a question down for myself after reading the third line, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And later on it says, he opened their eyes and he opened scripture. I think that's worship. But what do I have in my eyes that prevents me from seeing?
Yeah.
I think worship is one of those profound experiences that we do not get right much of the time. It's always worship to an audience of one. It's not about us. It's not about fixing us. It's not about having the latest song or the best band or the best organist. It really is walking into a place and humbling ourselves. And there's something very mysterious and powerful that you found out about worship. And you can't explain it, you can't define it, but you know it works. And I think what you shared, we just get so caught up in our culture and in our churches, you know, trying to align ourselves with I don't know what anymore. But it's just really about worshiping an audience of one. That's what we do. And if we do that correctly, I think our eyes will be open. And I think these two go hand in hand. I think God has to open our eyes first, then Scripture could open. Otherwise, we open Scripture according to our bias.
Amen.
And then we just have the 2,500 versions of Christianity that we have in America. What you shared is profound. It's an about worship.
What you just shared is right there, because they were expecting this worldly king. Yeah. They read the Scriptures. They knew it. We all read Scriptures. We think we got it all figured out. Stop. Stop. Scriptures are alive. They're so deep we haven't got a clue. We're babes in the woods. And the day we stop coming here as children to learn is the day this ends. The day this becomes a group of theologians is the day this ends. We come as children. We allow Jesus to open up our hearts and our minds to His Word. We can read this again and again and again, year after year after year. He'll take us into deeper waters. He'll take us into the shallows. He'll take us into the rapids. And He'll continue to open and unveil His truth to us.
Amen.
As long as we come as children to learn, to be taught, to grow. One of the things that I wrote down is, how many times do we miss Jesus along the paths of our life? How many times is Jesus disguised in the voice of another brother or sister in Christ who's trying to speak truth to us, and we fail to hear, we fail to see Christ at work in them, Christ with us, and we remain blind to the world because we don't want to change. We have our rights, so we miss Him so many times in our paths, so many times.
I know Satan is blinding me, or you know, in many ways to redirecting attentions. Do you think these guys, Cleopas and his partner, were their eyes closed to the situation because Satan was still looking for this to be another round of the battle between him and the resurrection? Was he the one who was closing their eyes?
Well, one of the key things is that you can misinterpret the events that are going on around you. These guys misinterpreted the greatest victory that ever occurred in history. Whatever occurred. And I think everything that's going on around us right now, we have to have the Lord help us, or we will misinterpret the events that are happening around us right now. Yep. We'll be walking down the road of life and we will not know what's going on. And, Jesus comes with His incredible humor and He acts like He doesn't know what's going on. And He knew exactly what's going on. So that's a powerful question there, is why do we get blinded? Without the Holy Spirit, we're going to miss not only down to the level you're at, where you say a brother may come to us in the form of Jesus, but there's events going on right now in this world God is trying to use to form something in us, to draw us to Him, not get so consumed by the events going on that's what we're attached to. That's my failure. I get so into the news, I miss Jesus. I'm just saying that's a propensity I have. And the Holy Spirit's yanking me back, saying, no, I need you to pay attention to me. I'll take care of the story. So,
what else do we see?
Reading this and looking at it, how many times does it happen to us? Every single day. The God moments. He doesn't reveal Himself a lot of times, or we don't see Him in our God moments. But then afterwards, we turn around and say, well, what do we do? Do we turn around and say, thank you, Lord, for being there? Or do we miss it completely?
A God moment, it just hit me seeing Him this morning, almost a year ago, not quite. I'd only been there two or three times in the house. That morning when He called me, total desperation, life was... I didn't know how, after 5 years, I had no clue how to fix this guy. I'd been his friend, I'd been his pastor, but I failed. At least humanly, I felt like I couldn't fix it. And in desperation, because I had found this group here, I said, I don't know what to do. Just come with me, and we'll go get breakfast after this the morning and Bible study. And that day, God began to do something. And the only reason he's not been able to come, because God worked out a job, worked out some things, and he's been faithful. And this last 6 months or so, God has really done some things in their family and in their worship and faithfulness, not just to a church building, but actually in their lives, in their young people. And so I just want to share, to sit here, you miss it, those God moments of that desperation. I didn't know what to do. And I think sometimes when I come to the end of that, I can't fix anybody, that only he can. And when I was younger as a minister, I really could fix everybody. I knew it. If they would just go to the church that I'm pastoring, they would have total healing. And now, after 38 years, I can't fix anybody.
I'm just so thankful, and you gave me to God.
That's not bad. I think what's happened is I took him to worship with me because I didn't know what else to do. Let's worship together at a 7:30 at a place that he couldn't even see that day. And I'm just saying, I'm proud. I'm just thrilled to death to know that when we focus on really focusing on worship. Many times on Sunday mornings when I'm worshiping that little moment, everything else is gone. And then I go back out to the real world. What could happen if that could happen every day, that I could just worship continually? Maybe. So I just want to...
Well, and you know what you just shared about...
Yes.
If you look today, he's bright, he's alive, he's filled with joy.
Amen.
You looked almost a year ago.
Well.
I love you. But that is the medicine that people receive that come to these groups.
That's right.
He's alive. Guess what he's doing? Bringing others to Christ. He called us up with a God story. He said, I need more of these things that we did at Gospel Reflection the one time with that one image that I had. He said, I shared this with somebody. Boom. God is now using him to bring others to Christ.
Amen.
So responded, brought in here now, responding and bringing others to Christ. This is the power of these groups, and we're being challenged all the time to take Christ into the world. I know you've heard me say this before, but gentlemen, coming home on a plane, get to Charlotte, North Carolina, go into the restaurant at the airport, I'm by myself. I don't have to show off, but I've convinced myself absolutely every opportunity. So the waitress walks up and I say, I'm getting ready to offer a prayer for this meal. Is there anything I can pray for you for? And she said, you know what? I got to go get stuff, and walked away. And I'm like, oh, wow. I mean, now the enemy's got his little portal and he's like, see that? You shouldn't be doing that. You're embarrassing people. You shouldn't be asking people like that. Don't you feel bad? And I'm feeling this oppression starting to sweep over me. Like, you know, you just made a fool of yourself in front of that woman, right? And I'm sitting there starting to feel dejected and thinking, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. She comes back with this bright smile. She said, could you pray for me? I said, sure.
Praise
she told
God.
Me her situation with her two children. She said, I would really appreciate that.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm like, wow. So, I mean, I went through a deep prayer for her. And at the end, the Lord put in my heart to take out one of our little prayer books, open up for a prayer for a peaceful spirit. The bill was like, I don't know, $30. The Lord put in my heart, because of where she was at, to give her $100 of cash. I put it in the prayer book. I gave it to her to pay the bill. I said, the rest is for you, ma'am. When I was leaving, I looked. She never even looked at the money. She was praying the prayer. It was so beautiful. That was a God moment.
Amen.
Gentlemen, we have the chance and the
That's
opportunity
right.
every day to witness to the people at the Turkey Hills, at the gas stations,
right.
at the restaurants.
That's right.
Don't do 365 times in the Bible, do not be afraid. Step out of your boat.
Praise God.
About that last week. I'm glad you were here.
Well, we need to talk about everything, because we do. We allow ourselves to go back into the world. So, another challenge point. I'm sorry I talked so much today. What else do we see?
I tell you what. From this morning, communion has taken on an entirely different light for me, because that last statement there, how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Amen. And I tell you what, when I serve communion, whenever I serve communion, I'm going to believe that that is going to be what takes place within the hearts of the people.
Amen.
And then this about worship, I think there's so many different forms of worship in that, but one of the greatest definitions that someone gave to me that has really latched onto my heart. Worship, a true worship is a life that is bowed down to the will and the purpose of the Father. And when we can have that desire every day to bow ourselves down before Him and allow Him to be exalted in everything that we do, that is true worship.
When you shared that, it hit my heart again, and I remembered this. This passage in the early church was the template for what we call in the Catholic tradition liturgy. The word is read, Old Testament, New Testament, the scriptures are read. It causes the heart to burn, they're beating the bread of life. But then the second part of in the Catholic tradition of the Mass is called the communion, the Eucharist. And so this is the two parts of the early church's church service, was the reading of the sacred scriptures, the breaking open of the bread of life through the interpretation of the Holy Spirit, which we call the homily, and then the true breaking, communion, common union, the breaking of the bread of life where Jesus is made known to us. So when you just shared that, it came to my head, and it's like that was the template. I think the document they used was called the Didache, but that was the template of the early church's service. Yeah.
One of the phrases that I like in the Bible is that God inhabits the praise of His people.
Yeah.
And that just, what the brother, our brother said up there was that always be on the offensive. And when you're praising God and He's close, well, the devil can't come close. It just reminds me that we have to praise God all the time. Mm-hmm. And He inhabits that praise. I know when I feel dejected or when I'm feeling really low, And I do this a lot when I'm driving in the car and stuff, and I just start singing and praising God. I mean, chills, like you said, chills go up and down my spine because I know God's presence.
Amen.
Yes.
And one of the things that when we read through this and we think about Jesus, when Jesus said, you know, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, that we've got to become better students of life, that God gives us opportunities to touch other people's lives, and we've got to avail ourselves to doing that, to not just recognize that it's me, but there are people around me that I am to make an impression for Christ on their lives through how I interact with them. And becoming a student of life is important, to recognize that God has given us this new life in Christ, and when we do say certain things, it can affect someone's life for good.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Any other reflections?
Yeah,
I saw you move.
Yeah. my wife, I don't know where she heard this, but it's been very meaningful for me. God's grace is operative only in reality. And I think to myself, what poor receptors each of us is in alone of reality. And that reality is so much bigger than any one of us can grasp. And yet, notwithstanding that, God has put the kingdom of heaven within us. We have this burning hunger for an appreciation of the real in God's name. And I just think, you know, Jesus and the Jesus that dwells among us when we come together is our glasses to view the reality through which God's grace can be operative.
Amen.
I mean, I just love that idea that it's only in the real, real, that God's grace is operative in our lives. And we need each other. You needed your brother to know that the real is bigger than the given moment.
And a learning moment from that moment, which really helps me as a man, I knew I overburdened my daughter. And I saw her crash. I saw it. And I knew I made a mistake in dumping. And so I went and apologized to her, then apologized to the Father. Then we have a choice. Allow Satan to beat us up, and just whip us. Oh, you're a failure. See, you're not holy. See, you think you're good. No, you're not. You're hurting people. Or turn the channel, ask for forgiveness, receive that forgiveness, and get back up. Allow the Lord to pick you back up. That's key as men, because we need to admit we fall. I fall. Oh my, I fall. Sometimes I'm letting myself. Sometimes I get real dirty. So, anything else? Awesome. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. I think we should recognize the Holy Spirit, and we should stop taking decisions for Him. You allow Him to take decisions through you. We talk in the area of women in the church, and the moment we start allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us, we will not even know the difference between a brethren is a woman or a man, because God does not discriminate. And therefore, we should stop looking at women from our cultural point of view, that's a woman. He shouldn't be able to do this or that. I've worked with a lot of them, and they have helped me a lot.
Yes.
You see? So we should allow the Holy Spirit to help us in this matter.
Excellent. And with that, I think one more, and we're out of time. I apologize.
I just wanted to share this with you, fellas. Upon reading Proverbs and studying Proverbs, I noticed that God uses male and female, and when He describes wisdom, He uses the female vernacular. He uses knowledge. Female vernacular, understanding, female vernacular, patience, female vernacular. You can go down a whole list of these things, and I'm asking them in my prayer, Lord, why? There's a significant reason why you use gender there, male or female. And I guess there's a reason. There's the heart of God He's showing. If we listen closely, He may manifest it through that particular gender. Yeah, the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge. If we take the time to just listen to God speaking through them.
Yes, excellent. Is that it? We're going to wrap it up. I apologize. I went a little bit over time with prayer and intention.
At this point in our gospel reflection meetings, we invite those present to share requests for prayer that God has laid on their hearts, and then we pray for those requests. We encourage you at this time to pause this recording and pray for those people and circumstances that the Lord is bringing to your mind right now. Once you have finished praying, please restart the recording and join us in our closing prayers. Please pause this recording now.
Prayer, when they ask Jesus to teach us to pray, you know, this prayer lays out the template. We first worship the Father, we worship God, then we bring our concerns before Him, and then we ask for His strength. So with that, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together, united as His children, and we begin. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen. And for those who choose to join in, we're going to ask Mother Mary, Jesus' mother, to pray to her Son to take our request to the Father. And with that, we begin.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And now the glory be.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
We hope that your life has been enriched by listening to the recording of this edition of Gospel Reflection. If this recording has helped you on your faith journey, please prayerfully consider participating in a Gospel Reflection group. For information on locations, times, group startups, phone participation, CDs, DVDs, and downloading, please visit our website at www.stewardshipmission.org and click on Gospel Reflection Groups. While visiting our site, please prayerfully consider partnering with us by making your tax-deductible donation. Thank you, and may God bless, protect, and guide you on your journey home to Him.